Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
New details this afternoon on a story we've been following out of Lewisville, where a Denton County commissioner was stabbed. Her husband murdered, and their grandson now under arrest.
Commissioner Bobby Mitchell is expected to recover, but her husband died. Their grandson is a suspect who police say in an affidavit broke into the home and parked his vehicle in a state that makes them think that he was planning a quick getaway. Denton County Judge Andy Eade says now is the time for the community to come together.
Focus on your family, focus on your faith, look for positivity in all things.
Commissioner Mitchell underwent emergency surgery but is expected to recover. Police found a bloody serrated steak knife with a significantly bent blade. From the 24-hour news center, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And it's a bizarre murder we've been covering all day today in Fort Worth. Police say man killed his mom because he thought the devil possessed her.
It started when police say they got a picture from an anonymous person showing a body with what appeared to be blood all over it. That person also provided an address with the picture. They said the picture came from someone in a group chat. When police got to the home in question, they were met by 23-year-old Alexander Valdez, who had blood all over his body and, according to the affidavit, told them it was an exorcism and I was doing witchcraft to kill my mom. When police made their way into the home, they found 58-year-old Tercita Sason dead in a bedroom. She had been beaten over the head and body. They also found a dead dog as well. Valdez faces a charge of murder and is being held on a $750,000 bond. From the 24-hour news center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, tomorrow, students at Wilmer Hutchins High School return to class for the first time since a shooting on campus left four students injured and one behind bars. NBC5's Larry Collins is at the school and says staff members return today.
Dallas ISD police on hand this morning, adding what appears to be an added layer of security. Student set to return to campus tomorrow. Now, there will be extra staff added to the school for the remainder of the school year, about 23 days. Officials say it will add enough personnel to the school to ensure that each of the 13 entry doors on this campus are staffed at all times while school is in session. Now, the accused shooter, 17-year-old Tracy Haynes Jr., remains in police custody with a multi-million-dollar bond. He faces six counts of aggravated assault mass shooting.
Now, while the judge refused to lower bond for Haynes yesterday, the Dallas Morning News is reporting one of the charges against him has been recalled, which lowers his bond to around $2.5 million.
Well, Wall Street has turned into a roller coaster ever since the president announced tariffs on different countries, then put them on pause for 3 months. This afternoon in Dallas, John Cornyn, our senator, says he's hopeful the pause is going to lead to trade deals.
The president has talked about as the principle of reciprocity. We want foreign markets to be open to our goods the same way we open their exports to goods here in America.
He came to Dallas for an event featuring small businesses. He says he is hopeful that this is only a brief disruption in the markets. Remember, the Dow closed up more than 1,000 points today after a bunch of losses.
Well, some people in Richardson are now dealing with a glitch on the first day of early voting.
Parts of the city of Richardson are in Dallas County, and county election officials say there was a programming error. All six places on the Richardson City Council plus the mayor are up for election, but some Richardson voters will not see some of the races on their ballot that are uncontested. Richardson residents in Dallas County who do vote today will still be able to vote for mayor and place six on the council. Dallas County election officials expect to have the problem solved tomorrow. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRL.
More on the death of Pope Francis. Now, officials at the Vatican, they have announced plans for the Pope's funeral, and they've revealed more information about the cause of death. Francis passed away Monday at the age of 88, the day after Easter. News Nation correspondent Robert Sherman covering the story this morning. Tell us, let's start with the cause of death. They say it was a stroke that led to heart failure, and this is on the heels of all that time he spent in the hospital with double pneumonia. Was the Pope trying to do too much too soon, perhaps?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that question, because those who are very close to the Pope have publicly said that Pope Francis, up until the very end, wanted to, using their words, die with his boots on the ground. He wanted to be with the people, amongst the masses, out there doing what he believed that he was called to do. And you saw him doing that on Easter Sunday. I mean, that's why there's such a, there's shock, but there's not surprise, if that makes sense. There's shock from the standpoint that it's, I mean, there was all this jubilation in the air here on Sunday, and then Monday, we all wake up to the news that the Pope has passed away. So it was a really quick turnaround here. But you saw him out in the Pope mobile. You saw him out meeting the masses, on Easter Sunday. And then all of a sudden, you have this quick turn. And now we're talking about funeral processions, the selection process for a new Pope. I mean, things have changed rather quickly here.
Let's talk about those funeral plans. I mean, this is going to be a massive undertaking, I would assume. So what do we know about the latest with that?
Yes, I mean, it always is a massive undertaking. And so we know that the public visitation is going to begin tomorrow, in which the public will be able to pay their final respects to Pope Francis. And then on Saturday, you'll have the funeral itself. And it's already a long list of dignitaries that are coming in. I mean, that includes President Trump, King Charles, a very, very long list that's going to be here in Vatican City. In total, it's 9 days of mourning. And then you go into the highly anticipated conclave, the selection of the next pope. That begins 15 to 20 days after the death of Pope Francis. I mean, you're looking at about possibly as soon as 2 weeks from today and when that process kicks off.
Tell us about that now, because I know Austin and I were talking yesterday about the recent movie, Conclave, which gave you a little insight into the, I don't know if you saw that movie, but I thought it was really interesting. What is actually going to happen, though? When does the conclave begin?
Yes. I mean, you're looking at, 2 to 3 weeks after the death of the Pope, and it is largely, with the exception of a few tweaks here and there, I mean, this is largely the way that they have done it for hundreds of years. You have the cardinals who will lock themselves up in the Sistine Chapel, and they will go through the voting process and filling out secret ballots. You need two-thirds of a vote among the eligible cardinals in order to actually name a pope. And eligible cardinals are those who are under the age of 80. And you need a two-thirds majority there. And so it could take as soon as one vote, it could take a day, could take several days, but they'll keep voting and they'll keep going through this process until a pope is selected.
What are you hearing from people at the Vatican? Reaction from, I don't know, tourists, the faithful, those who, as you said, shock but not surprise. What are you hearing?
That's a really good question, because it also plays into the where does the Catholic Church go from here conversation, right? And there are from some, who really want the Catholic Church to name a new pope who continues the legacy of Pope Francis and has similar ideologies, more acceptance to issues such as gay marriage and divorce. And then you have some who believe that the Catholic Church has gone astray and should return to more traditional conservative values and doctrines, and it should steer away from some of the pathways that Pope Francis led the Catholic Church down in the last few years. So I mean, there are discussions, and these discussions play into the bigger conversation of what comes next. And you have a lot of people who are asking those questions and waiting to see exactly how this whole process plays out here. Everyone seems to have their own opinions and ideas on what the best path forward is.
Good enough. Robert, thank you so much. Appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to talk with us live from the Vatican. That is News Nation correspondent Robert Sherman. A couple of interesting things. 120 cardinals will vote. You need two-thirds. You got to get 80 votes. And then they take the first vote, and then that's when the arm twisting begins, the negotiations, if you will.
And it is just like, hey, if you back my guy or if you back me, I can, you know, concede some things to your way of seeing things and so on and such. Well,
it's like Congress. I mean, yeah, it really is political.
And it's all done in secret ballots and so on and such.
And this was interesting because he mentioned if you're over 80, you can't vote. However,
you could actually be elected, which is crazy.
If you're over 80, you could be elected, Pope, but you can't vote. So, take that into account. This is all going to begin after the funeral, which is coming up on Saturday, of course. Well, you know, eating out is not the same as it used to be. And who do we have to thank for that? Our Gen Z, of course.
You're always blaming the youngsters. You hear that, guys?
No, I'm not.
These darn youngsters,
don't
man.
Kill the messenger.
These crazy kids.
America's youngest adult generation. They're doing things a little differently at restaurants. They're sharing entrees, ordering appetizers instead of entrees, sometimes ordering kids' meals.
Well, I don't know about the kids' meals, but I do a lot of appetizers and just call it a day.
They are also a lot more particular about where they go out to eat. And we're going to bring in Sharif Mitges right now. He's the CEO of Rick's Holdings in Dallas. It's a franchising company specializing in restaurant chains. They've got a bunch of them, and they are seeing these changes themselves. And he's with us right now. Hi, we're doing great. Thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes with us. There does seem to be a lot more food sharing these days. Why are we seeing that?
Well, I think you're seeing that as a result of people's wallets are getting a little pinched, right? I mean, prices are clearly up, both in the grocery stores as well as restaurants. And that generation, you know, they're trying to stretch their dollar. And so going out, getting a kid's meal, sharing, you know, in fact, people are rebranding their appetizers to be called shareables, really to kind of focus on this generation that is looking to stretch their dollar, but still go out and, you know, enjoy dining out with their friends.
You know, you mentioned one of those things right there, the shareables. What are other things that the restaurants are doing to try to cater to this younger generation?
Well, I think a big piece is also kind of this thing that we call the snacking generation. So it's not just sharing. It's where can I go get a snack, right? And be able to kind of almost fill myself up without having to buy a meal. And so you're starting to see a lot of those things being added to the menus as well. And actually new concepts coming out that are just really focused on snacking. So, you know, the crumbles of the world that just you want to go get a cookie or frozen yogurt is coming back. Those are the types of brands that are starting to make a resurgence because of this snacking, you know, kind of drive that this generation wants to do.
Smaller portions and, in theory, smaller prices then.
100% correct. Yeah. I mean, then you got to remember this generation grew up on phones. Right, and iPads, and so they're getting their recommendations from TikTok and from Instagram, and so the influencers are actually telling them these restaurant hacks. Right, how do you go to a restaurant and eat for three or four people really cheap? And so that's what they're learning. That's what they're consuming in terms of information, and it's helping them stretch their dollar.
Now, where was that information when we were young, right?
It was only word of mouth back then.
It's exactly right. It was word of mouth. But I'm glad you brought that up, the importance of social media in all this. I saw one young woman, she was in her 20s, and she said, you know, when it comes to picking a restaurant based on social media, you don't want the restaurant to be too viral, too hot, but you at least want some buzz
recognition
on social, yeah. Recognition, right?
That's right. I mean, that's where all the kind of the, what's called the kids. That's where they get their information. That's where they want to go and be with people that look like them. Be with people that, you know, they want to be like. And it's a major driver. And so it's not just about the food. It's about the experience. It's about the aesthetic of the restaurant or the establishment. And so it's a big driver that restaurateurs have to really pay attention to.
So what does a restaurant have to do to become Instagram worthy?
it starts with the menu, right? So one of our concepts, for instance, is the Friendly's restaurant chain, which is more in the Northeast. But we took a sundae and we put ice cream around a bed of French fries, right? That's okay. Instagram worthy. You do something different. You do something unique. People snap
that's
photos and that creates buzz. And that's what you have to do.
And you're right. That's different. Absolutely. It's really interesting stuff. It's changing so much. I mean, your job must be a real challenge in keeping up.
Restaurants is never an easy business, but at the end of the day, we get to provide a little joy and a little fun to folks that, you know, life's hard. And when you get to go out and enjoy a meal with friends and family, it all makes it worth it.
Sharif, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. It's good information. Interesting,
too. Thank you both.
You got it. I do that stuff sometimes. I found myself when I'm thinking, I want to try something new today. I might go to Instagram, which I never would have done 2-3 years ago. But I'm looking at it and say, well, that looks good. People there look hot.
To your point, I mean, 30 years ago, I mean, how did you find out about a hot new restaurant? It was 100% word of mouth.
And this is basically word of mouth, except over a much larger scale. So it works.
So,
and you got pictures involved.
Coming up on KRLD, I don't know about the ice cream and the fries, though.
Yeah.
I'm a little leery about that.
The yogurts, the TCBY.
Yeah.
Back in the day, my dad used to love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's coming back, baby.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.